strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thank you for being here. I think we all agree that social media can be ugly. It can be brutal. If you haven't seen the Alex Baldwin memes yet, that'll prove it. That people are mean. But some of those people are horrible on social media as well. It was pretty ruthless what happened to Donald Trump during his presidency, but he gave it right back. So who started it? But it doesn't matter. He was treated horribly on social media. He was treated horribly by Saturday Night Live. He was treated horribly by many people. I was involved as a volunteer on the Bush campaign in 2004, and it was an honor to be involved in it. What I mean by that is I would travel around as a surrogate, as a volunteer. I had the honor of speaking at many events. But I got to see firsthand how ugly politics and how ugly people can be. I still believe that George W. Bush is a good man. You know, I had disagreements with him like I do with anybody else. I wasn't a sycophant. I wasn't someone that's a blind follower. But as a human being and as a president, I admire George W. Bush. But I also saw how he handled the just vitriol and the anger of people. I've had it happen to me. I've had people, I actually had someone call my brother a terrorist. Those of you that know the story, my brother was killed in Iraq on Memorial Day of 2003. I've had people tell me that my brother was a terrorist. I used to have a guy that would email me on a regular basis, and every email started with a picture in the subject line or on the top of the email with a picture of a flag draped coffin, and he called my brother a terrorist. So there's people out there that are just like that. I don't silence people's opinions. Again, I have the right, if I wanted to, I have the right to walk up to a new parent and tell them that their child is ugly. If they hit me in the face, they're getting arrested for it. Doesn't mean I'm a good person for doing it. It means we protect people's speech. I say this because Jake Tapper lamenting how ugly politics is getting, right? And how ugly and how vitriolic things are, which I thought was hysterically funny. But isn't it interesting? I want you to hear just a little bit of this. There is a hip hop artist. His name is Bryson Gray. Now, he was with a group a couple of years ago. I saw him. He was with a group. They called themselves the MAGA Boys. And these were hip hop artists that were pro Trump. And he wrote a song called Let's Go Brandon. And I'm not going to play all of it. This is just a little bit of what it sounds like.
Hey, let's go Brandon. I keep it drawn like I'm Nick Cannon. Hey, hey, let's go Brandon. Pandemic ain't real. They just planted. Hey, hey, let's go Brandon. When you ask questions, they start banning.
Okay. That's the song. Not bad language, but that's the song. Number one on iTunes. Number one on iTunes. It's been banned on Instagram and YouTube. Banned. They've banned it. Now, private company, they can have things on their platform they want, but the hypocrisy of this is one thing. It's one thing to say what hypocrites they are, and they absolutely are. You go on YouTube and you can find beheadings. You can find murders. I mentioned earlier, this guy, this song, Let's Go Brandon, gets banned on YouTube. And I apologize. I'm not. I love music. I don't know a whole lot about hip hop. There is a hip hop artist was very well known, and I cannot remember his name. It escapes me. A few months ago, less than a year ago, he was in his car, and he was doing an Instagram or a video conference with a friend. He was talking to a friend on a live video, and someone walked up to his car and murdered him. They shot him about five or six times. And you can still, I believe, you can still find that video on YouTube. You see this kid get shot. You see him can't breathe. You can see him mouthing, help me, into the camera. And his friend has no idea what's going on. And you can see this. It's disturbing. It is disturbing to watch this young man die. You can find it. Beheading videos, torture videos, death videos. You can find all that stuff on YouTube. Let's Go Brandon gets banned. The politics in America, and it is one thing to get angry about politics. Here's the other part of this that's so bad, is that we have bought into, many of us have bought into, as a society, into this idea of hate speech. there are a lot of things that are hateful to say. Again, you know, you can only talk about your own personal experiences. My last name truly is Broomhead, and it's spelled Broomhead. So when you get, when you're a little kid, kids make fun. They find a way. If you're the little kid, you're the big kid, you're the tall kid, you're the fat kid, you're a short kid, whatever it is, they're going to find a reason to make fun of you. Mine was easy. Everybody made fun of my name. You can tell when someone's having fun with it and when someone's being vicious. Everybody, it's instinctive in people. You know people's intent. The comedian Don Rickles and what he was loved by so many, was brutal in his racist and sexist humor, and but they knew it wasn't meant in any ill will. He was a very good man. He was a nice person. We know the difference. You can go on anywhere on social media, mine or anybody else's, and see vicious tweets and vicious comments. Alec Baldwin was relentless about guns, and then he accidentally kills somebody. People are vicious. You know, the memes, some of them are funny to people, but they're vicious. People can be cruel. We shouldn't silence people. You don't have to. You don't like Let's Go Brandon? Don't listen to it. But when they were berating President Trump, it was free speech. I think we're headed down a road. We've got this hate speech label that came out, and now we have this silencing of people when you disagree. And the fact, I'm not going to debate or argue whether Instagram or YouTube have a right to ban whatever they want from their platforms. I mean, it's a private company. But the fact that they think that's an American thing to do. You know, it's one thing when the government censors. That's a whole different argument about constitutional rights and free speech. But when a private entity does something like this, but what it speaks to is the mindset in America that says, if we don't like what you're saying, you should shut up. How many people have said that, you know, I should be boycotted or no one should listen to my show? We're going to go to your sponsors. They used to do this to Limbaugh all the time. They had form letters. I used to see them in my boss's office because I used to work at a station that carried Rush Limbaugh. And they would be stacks of form letters, the exact same letter, just signed by different people, that they would be sent out. They would go to sponsors and try to get sponsors to stop listening. It happened to Howard Stern for years. Just change the station. If you don't like what you're hearing, change the station. And we have just become accustomed to when someone uses the phrase hate speech, we automatically are going to force those people to be quiet or we fire them. We take away their livelihoods. And I think we are headed in a dangerous direction when we do it. Let's Go Brandon is the song. If you want to hear more of it, it's on iTunes. It's available on a lot of music platforms, just not on Instagram or on YouTube. In a moment, we got a COVID-19 update, Arizona's per capita numbers, which you've been hearing reported all morning, and more about this. Is it safe to gather for the holidays? We're going to do that coming up here in just a moment.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
All right, the Arizona pandemic outlook worries experts and vaccine mandate battle. Mandates battle rages. Arizona has caught up to New York when it comes to reported deaths per capita. Is it the age of our population? Is it our medical care? What is the reasoning behind this? We heard in the news reports this morning people talking about this being because we didn't adjust our mitigation strategy to what other states had done. It's interesting. I find this to be fascinating because New York did much more than we did. So did California. When you see in the southern United States, and fact check me on this, all you fact checkers out there, the South had a spike. We saw the southern states had a spike. And so you saw the Northeast and other places saying that the reason that all this was happening is the horrible way Florida and other southern states. Go look at how the hospitalizations and death numbers have plummeted in the southern United States and not one word about it. There has been a spike in the Midwest. There's a spike in parts of the Northeast now again, and the South is falling. So you have diametrically opposed ways of handling things with mirroring outcomes. And so you have experts that want to bolster their point by saying this proves this or this proves that. The numbers don't lie. As a matter of fact, over the weekend, they reduced the number of confirmed deaths by one to people under the age of 20. It has to do with the way they do the death certificates and things of that nature. They maybe get the age wrong, whatever it is. Cause of death may be wrong. But there have been 40 confirmed deaths, 4-0, 40 confirmed deaths under the age of 20 from COVID-19. There have been over 218,000 cases. So I want you to do the math on that. That's the zero percentile for deaths. They have far and away the lowest hospitalizations. Again, 218,000 cases. There have been 2,962 hospitalizations. Every other demographic is over 10,000 and well over 10,000. Most of them at 15,000 or more. 65 plus, there's been 2,900 hospitalizations if you're under 20. If you're over 65, there have been over 33,000. There have been 40 deaths under the age of 20. There have been 15,000 over the age of 65. You want to know what the case numbers are? Again, 218,000 if you're under 20. There have only been 139,000. Less than 140,000 compared to 218,000, and they account for 33,000 hospitalizations and 15,000 deaths. The reason why I bring this up is I still maintain, we target the wrong people. The idea that kids have to mask up all day long at school and the kids have to do this and kids have to do that so that to protect themselves from giving it to someone else who could give it to someone else who might... I'm sorry, that is the wrong approach. We've never done it before. Mandate masks, mandate vaccines. We didn't mandate condoms for AIDS. I keep telling people, well, it spread differently. That's why I'm not talking about masks. I'm talking about condoms. What we did was we went to the high-risk groups, like we should have done with older Americans and people with comorbidities. We keep hearing that phrase, comorbidities. Do you know what those are? Not what it means. Do you know what the comorbidities are? I know obesity is one of them. I know people with respiratory problems like asthma or emphysema is another one. Obesity is one of the bigger ones. No pun intended. But do you know what those comorbidities are? No. Because the health experts weren't saying, if you are in this demographic, if you have this, if you have emphysema, if you have asthma, if you have any kind of a lung issue, a breathing issue, if you are obese, if you are overweight and you get COVID-19, you're at a much higher risk of hospitalization or death from this virus because it's a respiratory virus. We didn't do that. We didn't say to people over the age of 65, you are the most in danger of dying. You are the most in danger of overwhelming our healthcare system with hospitalizations. You must protect yourself. Wear a mask. Wear two masks. Stay away from people when you can. Don't go out if you don't have to. We didn't do that. We got football stadiums filled with young people and old people. We have gone after the wrong group. Why? Because we can control kids. You look at the people that are over the age of 65. Is there anybody out there over the age of 65 that doesn't understand what the health risks are of COVID-19? Is there anyone out there over the age of 65 that doesn't understand at this point that there is a vaccine that's available for them and that it dramatically reduces serious illness or death? People have a choice. So we talk these numbers when you want to demonize or you want to prop somebody up. But in reality, go and look at how comparable numbers are. Who's doing well? Name a state that's done well throughout this COVID outbreak. Name one. Everyone's had their peaks. Everyone's had their valleys. Everyone's had spikes. Everyone's had dramatic drops. Everybody's dealing with it in a different way. And yet we still find ways to demonize each other. We still find ways to point a finger and say, see how bad you are? It doesn't make any sense to me. Going to talk about the city of Mesa again in just a moment. Mesa is adding firefighters and police officers. While other cities are trying to get rid of cops and they're going to fire them if they don't get vaccinated, Mesa said, come work for us. So we're going to talk about that coming up next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
The city of Mesa is hiring firefighters and cops to the tune of 200 new employees. They're going to have 81 firefighters and medical staff, and 117 police positions are going to be opening up in the city of Mesa. The state of Florida is seeking outside, going after the police officers that have been fired or will be fired because of mandates for vaccines. I want you to hear the Florida Governor DeSantis and what he said about this.
We're actually actively working to recruit out-of-state law enforcement because we do have needs in our police and our sheriff's departments. So in the next legislative session, I'm going to hopefully sign legislation that gives a $5,000 bonus to any out-of-state law enforcement that relocates in Florida. So NYPD, Minneapolis, Seattle, if you're not being treated well, we'll treat you better here. You can fill important needs for us, and we'll compensate you as a result.
Yeah. And so now I want you to hear, this is the Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot about mandates.
It's about saving lives and creating a safe workplace.
I want you to think about what she just said. She's talking about cops and firefighters. By definition, they don't have a safe workplace. They work dangerous jobs. But this is the vaccine mandates in Chicago. They are going to be firing Chicago cops. They are trying as a city to stop officers from leaving the profession by retirement by reducing or taking away some of their benefits that they've earned if they retire because of the vaccine. I want you to think about how evil that is, that you would take away someone's livelihood, something they've already earned their entire careers. So you've got places like Florida, and I know that the Phoenix Police Department is recruiting outside of Arizona. The Mesa Police Department is doing a recruiting drive. And I've talked about the dangers. The city of San Francisco, and there's a news report that we played earlier. I'm not going to play it all, but there is a news report out of San Francisco that wealthy people in San Francisco are hiring private security firms because they don't feel safe in their neighborhoods. Why are we not? We should be learning lessons about good and bad examples. And I don't mean bad places. I mean things that have happened at other people's mistakes. There are mentors out there in business, entrepreneurs that seek out young entrepreneurs because they want to help them live their dreams. And one of the things they help them do is avoid some of the mistakes they made. We as a, and I say new city, the Valley is growing in a huge way. I've been here for almost 27 years, almost 27 years, and I've watched huge growth in this Valley. But we are still a new city in comparison with other places. You know, the Philadelphias, which we've now outpaced in population and others. We should be looking at the mistakes that other cities have made in the past and not make them in the future. The city of Detroit that went bankrupt because of their commitments to city employees with pensions and with insurance and everything else. And when the economy tanked in Detroit, they went from being one of the wealthiest cities in the entire country because of the automobile industry to being bankrupt. They were leveling neighborhoods. They were leveling abandoned homes because they were being used for crack houses and prostitution and other crimes. We should learn a lesson from that. We should learn a lesson that when you allow the defund the police movement to take hold and you actually have members of your city council or town council, whatever they are where you live, and you let them convince you that the best thing to do for the community is to reduce the number of police officers and hire social workers and do all of this other stuff. LA reversing, other cities are reversing course on all of this, and officers are throwing their hands up and saying, we're done. We are done with your city. So cities like Phoenix should learn that lesson. It's interesting because my city council representative is Carlos Garcia. I've had Mr. Garcia on the show a number of times. And we've had very good conversations. It's not about whether I like someone personally or dislike them. It's not personal. It's a belief in the direction that makes this city great. And Mr. Garcia's position is anti-cop. He wears and has in the past worn anti-police t-shirts to city council meetings. He sent a message that he doesn't like the police. There is a second, I believe her name is Ansari, the second city council member now that is anti-cop. We now have elected two people to the Phoenix City Council that are anti-police. and the city's going to pay a price for it. This new Office of Accountability, where Mesa is actively saying we're going to hire 200 new people, the city of Phoenix office opens an Office of Accountability. Now, I'm all about accountability. Police officers go through two different investigations in a violent scenario. There is the regular internal investigation that they go through, and there's a criminal investigation. So you have to believe, and we hear this all the time, well, the prosecutors and the police officers work closely together so they cover for each other. And you demonize, not only are you demonizing the police, now you're demonizing prosecutors, and you're saying they have no character either. So this Office of Accountability is going to have absolutely nothing to do with law enforcement. No one that works in the office will ever have been in law enforcement, nor will they be associated with law enforcement, nor will they be the immediate family member of someone in law enforcement. And so they're going to be able to judge the right and wrong of the police. So the message is loud and clear to the city of Phoenix police officers. We don't like you. We don't trust you. We believe you're bloodthirsty. We believe you're prone to violence. We believe you're prone to breaking the law, and we're going to get you. So good officers, and I would say to you, the vast majority of police officers are good people that want to do an honorable job, and they're willing to risk their lives to save yours. Those good officers will look just across town. They'll see towns like Mesa or Chandler or Scottsdale or other agencies. And I don't know the policies of all of the police agencies in the Valley. They'll look to the West Valley, which is growing exponentially. They will look to those towns that would love to have an officer with the experience you get working in the city of Phoenix. Bring it to their small towns of Goodyear and Surprise and Buckeye. Come on out our way. Why not go there? And it's interesting to me that they'll go. That you still live in the Valley. You still have access to everything the Valley has to offer. The pay is going to be comparable. And you're going to live and work in a city that supports and respects the job you do. And that's my fear. We're going to turn into San Francisco, where if you can afford it, you're going to hire private security. If you're not going to be able to afford it, you're a sitting duck. You either that or you defend yourself the best you can. We become the Wild West. And, you know, there are people that say, well, I wouldn't mind that. I can defend myself. I have firearms. I do too. I don't want to shoot anybody. I don't want to have to stop somebody from breaking into my house. I don't want to have to do those things. I want those people off the streets before they get to my house. That's why I respect the profession of being a law enforcement officer. Those people stand in the gap and deal with the dregs of humanity so that we don't have to. And how do we repay them? With this nonsense. So good for Florida recruiting the way they are. Good for Mesa recruiting the way they are. And let's hope that Phoenix stays on the right track and they can do something. We can do something as Phoenicians to kind of keep a lid on the anti-police sentiment that's out there. Got an update on the Alec Baldwin situation. What's happened, more details have come in, but also how people are responding to Alec Baldwin and what happened. We'll tell the story coming up in just a moment.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks for being here. Update on Alec Baldwin and the situation of what's happened. More details have come out about this. We're going to talk a little bit about gun safety that most of you understand anyway, but I want you to hear something, and I found this to be a little bit odd. Jake Tapper was talking about a specific tweet that was out there about Alec Baldwin and the cruelty that goes along with this.
And he did this, J.D. Vance. He did this. Why? Presumably because he thinks it will help him win supporters. He did it to win votes. In other words, the cruelty is a feature of his candidacy, not a bug. Vance is seemingly following the playbook of Donald Trump, whose response to the death of Secretary Colin Powell a few days ago was to issue a statement attacking Powell, following similar attacks that he made against the late John McCain and the late John Dingell after they had died. Violations of basic decency, ones we see repeatedly.
So it's a violation of basic decency. First of all, let me talk about the John McCain comment. Most people know that listen to the show. I had a great relationship with Senator John McCain, the late senator. And we had disagreements politically about things, but he treated me with such respect that he didn't know me. You know, he was such a well-known figure in American politics, but he engaged it with me in ways that many, many people didn't. And I had a love for John McCain as a human being. And I know that politically, that's not what you're supposed to say in Arizona if you're a conservative, but I love John McCain. But the left hated him. When he ran against Barack Obama, they hated him. Hated him. Now all of a sudden he's held up in such high regard because Trump hated him. And so they hated Trump more. So, and I don't like any of the things that Donald Trump said about John McCain. I felt like a kid caught in a bad divorce. I didn't like any of that either. But what's fascinating is how they pick and choose what's ugly. It wasn't ugly when they said it about Trump. He deserved it, right? Well, Alec Baldwin, if you look back at some of the things that Alec Baldwin said about police officers involved in shooting of suspects, Dinesh D'Souza retweeted a comment of his where he asked the question, posting a picture of an officer involved shooting and a suspect and all this other stuff, posting a tweet asking the question, I wonder what it's like to unlawfully kill someone or something like to that effect. Alec Baldwin was an aggressive, mean person on social media. The horrible things he said about his child. I'm not condoning bad behavior, but how does this become a news story? I understand it's a news story that it happened. I understand the tragedy of what happened. But for Jake Tapper to turn us, oh, how cruel people can be. Alec Baldwin was one of the cruelest people online. An officer is involved in a shooting, and before there's any evidence of wrongdoing, you are demonizing and convicting a police officer and saying horrible things on social media. And now Jake Tapper goes out there and defends this, defends Alec Baldwin and says, people, Republicans are evil. How is that a news story? Go back and look at what Alec Baldwin has said his entire professional career about guns and gun owners and cops. Aside from that, let's talk about the incident itself. Everyone out there that owns guns was as surprised as I am about what happened because there were multiple people that were supposed to handle that firearm. And I will tell you that the first rule of firearms is you never hand someone a loaded firearm. The second one is if you're handed a firearm, always assume it's loaded. If both people do their jobs, mistakes can't happen. In the military, all of you veterans understand at a weapons inspection, last thing you do before handing over your weapon is inspect to make sure that it's unloaded. And then you hand it over and the weapons inspector does the same thing. They inspect that it's unloaded. Even in a drill, even if it's not possible that it's loaded, that's what you do. On a movie set, he was told he had a cold gun, which means it's unloaded, and it was loaded. He was practicing pointing the gun into the camera, apparently. I think it is horrible that this person lost her life and somebody else was so seriously injured. The irony of his behavior about guns here can't be lost. I mean, he was a mean person. I'm not saying he deserved this. I'm not glad it happened to him. I'm certainly not glad that this woman died and another person was severely injured. I'm not happy about any of that. I'm saying that the outpouring now of disdain for Alec Baldwin is something that he is the one that fostered. The way he treated people he disagreed with was despicable. He treated people horribly. And so what is Jake Tapper and the rest of the world expect to happen? What do they expect was going to happen? You have been, especially on the topic of firearms, you have been condescending, you have been elitist, you have been a horrible person to police officers involved in shootings. You have said despicable, heartless things about them. And now all of a sudden, Jake Tapper goes on TV and defends Alec Baldwin. We know why he did it. It was to demonize a Republican candidate for office. This gave him the fodder to do that. Embarrassing. Absolutely embarrassing. Just after 11 o'clock, everything more expensive. What's happening with the economy? Now we're learning it's going to be propane. If you use propane for heat, your prices are going way, way up. We'll talk about that coming up next.